Stay where you are, guys. Stay where you are. Just a place where the Lord just highlighted 2 Corinthians 10 to me. Just kind of close your eyes and listen to this, if you would. This is Paul describing himself, an amazing warrior for Jesus, an amazing person who was able to take incredible amounts of land all over the known world at that time. Great apostle. Great lover of Jesus, and this is how he describes himself. So in an attitude of worship, let's just agree with what we've been singing. Now I, Paul, myself, urge you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. I ask that when I am present, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So let's just keep ourselves here in a moment, an attitude of just prayer before the Lord as we have sung out these declarations and made these decrees, that Paul himself is urging us by the meekness and gentleness of Jesus. He says, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. And he asks that when he is present, he need not be bold with the same confidence with which he proposed to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh. So Lord, right now you're just reminding us that as we are mighty warriors for you, that we are choosing to engage with the very spiritual weapons that you've given us to take the land, to be a history maker, to be one who will see your love permeate every situation, every possible or potential division, every situation that's difficult because of the meekness and the gentleness of Jesus Christ. Great humility will be birthed through each one of us as we choose to honor people above our own thoughts, above our own desires, above our own rationale and reasoning, beyond behavior. But we will choose right now, Lord, to see the people that we have engaged with, even this week, as people of value and worth, as a treasure in your kingdom, whether they know you or not. And that very posture that we choose to take right now, as the Lord floods each one of us with pictures of people, faces of people, that we will come into remembrance that we're ambassadors of reconciliation, that's our call. Ooh, Rabba Shikiribisi. Yes, Lord. Let's just ask the Lord right now, just really believe there's a wave going through this house where the Lord is saying, I'm calling you into deep, deep places of humility, deep places of honoring. Way beyond what you've experienced before. Honoring at all cost. Honoring to your own hurt. Honoring that rises in the midst of caring more about people than being right. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let the love and conviction of your presence and your word bring us to that place that as we rally behind the great and mighty warrior, you, Jesus, that the weapons of our warfare our love and honor because of mercy at all cost. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let that become so real for us today. Holy Spirit, grab each one of our hearts. Some of us need to ask for forgiveness of other people. Some of us need to offer ourselves as ambassadors of reconciliation to others, towards others, caring more about where they're coming from than whether we are accurate, whether we are right. Lord, for the sake of the call of the Lamb, that's what you're looking at here, Lord. So Holy Spirit, we call on you right now and we invite you to turn situations around as we take steps to humble ourselves and not defend ourselves, to humble ourselves and risk love. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He who began a good work in us and others will bring it to completion, Philippians 1:6. And the Lord says, I'm going to use you in that process for others. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Bring the power of your convicting word to our hearts right now. This is what love looks like. Outrageous love is putting yourself down. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we're asking for you to baptize our heart in a new level of love right now. New level of love. Way beyond what our logic tells us, our reason tells us of how right we are, how accurate our thoughts have been. Lord, that the Spirit of the living God will rise above everything. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord is looking for us to look for opportunities to turn situations around for the sake of love, for the opportunity to grow in humility, for the opportunity to grow in levels of honor that can only be seen by Him as places of true revival and restoration and reformation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's baptize our hearts right now, Lord. Just immerse our hearts. Yes, Lord. Open our minds. Yes, Lord. As Paul urged us, because of the mercies of God, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That's our reasonable act of worship and service. Oh, this is how we will take nations. This is how we will do the greater works. This is how we will see revival and a great awakening in the land. Hey! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The Lord is saying, today is the day where I'm calling you to go beyond the spheres of your closest comfort into the places of challenge and darkness, into the places, oh, where the difficult situations, encounters, or people live and touch our world. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Are you willing? That's what I'm hearing from him. Are you willing? And I believe the answer is yes. 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 Oh. How many of us are willing for the Lord to root out pockets of judgment in our heart that we haven't seen? Pockets and places of judgment that have been able to lurk and to remain, that rise up when poked. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the reminder from Paul. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that only your righteousness shall remain. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. This is the fiery love. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Wow. Don't resist my spirit. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is the revival rain. This is really the relentless pursuit. Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh. Hey. Sin, can you come up and pray for the children, please? I believe the Lord's just activating us right now into a place of personal responsibility, personally taking responsibility for that which he has just revealed to us. Because we'll go farther and faster with that revelation. Love looks like something that's different than what we see many times. Wow. And what we want to do is be so changed in his presence, our children will notice the difference and they will become like us. Humble, merciful, kind. When we were singing, "These are the weapons of our warfare, I'm a mighty army, dressed for battle," I love that. I love singing that. I'm so encouraged when we're standing up and agreeing with who we are, agreeing with what the Lord says is our DNA of heaven and how he sees us. I love that. And what I love even more is that that can become a reality for so many more people, and that we can be used in seeing that move of God, which is what he's intended to bring to all of us and all throughout Stark County, this region, and of course to the nations. He wants us to be able to stand against the obvious but also stand against what's not obvious. And he wants us to do it victoriously and wants us to be able to recognize that our true weaponry will be taken care of, will be intact and remain intact and get stronger and stronger and stronger. It's kind of funny, if you have an AK-47, you have a gun and you've got your bullets and you're going to go ahead and you're going to shoot the enemy and you want to keep your gun in working order. That's nice to think of it that way. And I think when I first came into the kingdom myself, I was thinking about those kinds of things. I'm a warrior for Jesus. But from a spiritual perspective, guns don't increase. The bullets don't change. You might get a new version here and there, like, oh, there's a new model. But overall, it's pretty much similar. There are many similarities to the increases, let's say, for our weaponry. I'm talking about our individual weaponry. But at the same time, the Lord wants us to be able to realize that we're going from glory to glory to glory to glory. So what we're using, so to speak, to be able to advance the kingdom and take a step out in recognizing who we are is going to change. It's going to look different. It should look different tomorrow. Now, if it doesn't feel that it's different, then that's probably where the Lord's saying, I want to increase you in those areas so that we're worshiping, we're recognizing more with just a mental assenting of what that would look like for us. For example, if we're saying we are worship warriors, so we're worshiping the Lord, and as we worship him, the battle belongs to him, but our artillery, our battle gear, so to speak, is increasing in a rate that we can barely even keep up with. In other words, we just can't even imagine how good it's going to get. Because what Paul was trying to say to us in the scripture that I just read is that because of the meekness and the gentleness of Jesus Christ, he was able to stand in a position, a posture, to be able to release these beautiful truths to all of us. And here we glean from that today. So we know that when we define the word meekness, it's gentleness under control, it's power under control. So we are able to say, okay, Lord, what does that mean? I'm a person of great gentle nature under the control of whom? Under the control of what? Who is the great general? Jesus Christ. Who is the great king? Jesus Christ. Who is he raising up? Kings and priests. Who are we? Kings and priests. And he's also raising up generals. So he's raising up people to become like him. And he's saying in that becoming, in that process, that becoming like me, you're going to see yourself in a new light, but you also will see others in a new light. How many of us know if we see ourselves in a new light, that automatically spills over into the other side? It really does. So if we're not seeing ourselves in the fullness of who Jesus is saying that we are, we're going to have a disconnect when we're dealing and working with other people. And that will spill, or that type of mindset is what will spill out into the region, into the nation, into the state of Ohio, beyond here, beyond our walls. So when we talk about knowing our identity, living in our identity, and we feel as though we are special, we are precious, we are a prize, we are a treasure, we are all these things, we are more than conquerors, we can fight the good fight. All of those places of being able to recognize the identity that God has given us, when that takes root in our heart so strongly, so effectively, then the people around us are blown away by the gentility. The lowest of the low, or the highest of the high, will recognize the great wisdom, they'll recognize the great kindness, they'll recognize the desire to see themselves, the people that they're looking at, I should say, succeed. The people around you who you are working with, the people in your family, the people down the street, they will become a recognizer of who you are in that you would desire to see them succeed. You would desire to see them excel. You would desire to see them become who they are not evidencing, but who they really are from God's perspective. That's a high call. How can I do that? How can I become that? How is that possible? The Lord says it is possible when we humble ourselves with great humility. We will see the person sitting right in front of us who is acting jerk-like. We'll see them for real. Just trying to get raw here. We'll see them as people who Jesus says, do they see you in my eyes? Do they see you? Do they feel your love for them? You see, this is what the Lord was speaking about in Mark 12, 30 through 34. He was saying, when you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do one without the other. And it's in the perfect order. So that time spent with the Lord, that rallying, that dancing in front of the stage here, in front of the fireplace at home, in front of the furnace in the basement, or wherever it would be that we're dancing before the Lord is saying, that connection between you and I that is so raw, so pure, so enlightened, so full of vigor, so amazing, that will spill into the people around you. And when it doesn't, because it's inevitable many times, then you recognize it and say, I'm sorry. Whoa. Sorry about that. Quickly. And then say, how can I help you succeed? How can I see you rise? How can I see you? Well, sometimes people, when they have had a smack in the heart, whether it's from our own hands, our own mouth, or from the fact that there's an impression that is left with them, or from a place where they have much lack, let's say, in emotional healing, all of those factors together, a person may have a hard time accepting the love that we try to give. And ultimately, we're not responsible, but primarily, we are responsible to ensure that we have done all that we can do as a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. The children of God are the humble, dependent ones saying, what do you want, Daddy? I want you to speak this. I want you to speak life into a place. I want you to speak life into people. I want you to take these steps that will cause you to go low. It will be to your own hurt, but it will be part of the cost that you pay for love. That's outrageous love. It's true. I can speak to you about revival. I can speak to you about awakening, which we're going to speak a little bit about in a few minutes. And all of that will be true as well. But the Lord says, when the person that I'm looking at goes really low, saying, Lord, I see a debacle in the making. I see a situation that's rough. What can we do? What can I do? How can I be used to raise the bar of love? That's what he's calling us to do, and to recognize what our part would be in that, and then continue to move forward. It's important. It's part of our destiny shaping. It's not just destiny for our individual, where am I going to go in my destiny walk, but it's part of the destiny shaping for Frontline. People who come in here and they say, I feel so much love. I sense the love. Well, that's really good. What does love look like? Love is giving, giving, giving. And if a person isn't able to receive that love, they'll probably walk away. So we are in a position of helping people in any way that we are able to receive the love, through the spoken word, through the worship, through maybe a tangible offering or something like that. We help them. And if people still have misunderstandings, miscommunications about what love really looks like, we pray for them and we keep going. But we have that as important, as an important factor in our heart. I just want to see people rise. If we want to see people rise, things will change. But they will not change within us until we rise. We cannot. We'll burn out. It's absolutely true. Pastors, leaders, missionaries will burn out. Just trying to please you, Lord. Please you, Lord. Please you, Lord. Without an understanding that pleasing comes from relationship and rest in him, to be able to see what the needs are around us. The Lord's testing us, even through relentless pursuit, getting ready for our conference, which is so exciting. It's only a couple weeks away, less than a couple weeks away. And the Lord's doing many things here in the inside of the building, and he's doing things on the outside, and he's doing things in our hearts, and he's saying, I want you to recognize me, because as you recognize what I'm doing right now,
So if Pastor Mary Pat says, all hands on deck, that there will be a response of, wow, yes, because of love and understanding what that actually means. Or Pastor Bill says, all right, it's time to worship and be worship warriors. Let's go for it. Yes. But understanding what that looks like, that in this body here, this is part of the relentless pursuit that is going to draw in the masses to fill this place, that there will be standing room only. But you see, the love that is released is power. This is what's going to draw the crowds, to draw people in, even to the building this size. Because I'm telling you, we are so excited to have this building as ours and to be able to have all the new chairs and the new digs. But the Lord says, keep your eyes moving. This is only the beginning. This is either a youth center, prayer house, whatever it will be for my purposes, because of revival and because of awakening. You need to see way beyond that. If you get stuck in that, you're short-sighted. So I'm always seeing an extension, either out the sides or in the front here. Always seeing that. Always seeing the next place. And that doesn't mean there's discontent. It means there's vision. And the Lord says, without vision, people perish. But the perishing becomes, it looks like something. It looks as though we cannot love in the ways that he's seeing. And it has practical outpourings in that realm. So the vision that he's talking about, without vision of what he's saying to us, oh my goodness, then we cannot climb. We cannot go as far. We cannot go as far and as fast. We will not accelerate. We will not. Now, I'm not a person who preaches the will nots, but it is true, because when we preach, here's who we are, here's where we're going, the converse of that is, do you want that? And the answer is, yes, we want that. So I was really prompted as I'm watching us dancing and singing and going, wow, I just feel your presence. And the Lord says, yes, you're tying in with how big I am. Take how big I am and apply that. Apply that right where you are. Apply that right where you live. Apply that right where you work. Apply that right in your family. Apply that now. And it's going to become even greater and greater. And the weapons of our warfare are mighty, mighty through God. It won't be just us shining up our AK-47s and polishing our boots. It will be, Lord, this worked yesterday, but it won't work tomorrow. Because tomorrow is the next step of glory. So if we're going from glory to glory, then there's something beyond today. And that living in that hope and living in that anticipation is so exhilarating. It stirs us up to say, this is amazing. What can I do? What can I do to be saved? Not for you. You're saved. But what can I do? Let me just draw our attention really quickly again to 2 Corinthians. And you have your Bibles. Flip open there, please. 2 Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. What I was so stirred about this morning on my way, or before I got here actually, was when I was preaching 2 weeks ago, there was a passage that I was highlighting, the familiar one to many in this house, which would be Romans 12, 1 and 2, which I encourage you to listen to. And I was reminding myself, listening to that again, that there was such a thrust on urge. I urge you. There's an urgency. There's an intentionality in the Holy Spirit. There was with Paul. There is with us today. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you've got your hands also in 2 Corinthians here, there's the same wording. And honestly, I didn't see that until we were up here worshiping. And the Lord said, go to 2 Corinthians. And I read that going, wow, you're saying this again. You're driving this home. You're saying, kids, I know you received something a couple weeks ago. Receive it fresh and anew again. And there's more. Tie these two things in together. Whoa. So the urging is talking about his raw expectancy, his attentionality, and the diligence of considering what it is that he's saying to us right now. Finally, brethren, Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I urge you, I'm saying, get it, pay attention, apply this right now to yourself, to your life. There's something different. I'm going to do something in your situations right now that's going to change. And that's the acceleration that I'm promising right now. It's this diligent considering of the words and the releases of the heavenly presence that God's giving us, that diligent consideration. That means, tell me again. Come on. I want to think about it again. Oh, now I have a situation. Oh, it's ugly. What do I do? Ha! I need to present myself as a living sacrifice. Ho! Hey, I need to look at this differently. I need to see, what are my weapons of warfare? How are they being used? What does outrageous love look like? That's how you take land. That's how you take territory. That's how we take the city in Canton and Massillon. That's what we do. We become so burning, passionately burning for the burning one, that the mighty weapons of warfare, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds first in ourselves and anyone else who's around us. So when you go into the presence of someone and they're struggling, such love will come out from each one of us. They may burst into tears. They may say, I can feel something. They may not even know what's going on, but it's because of the power that's released through us. This power inside of us is just screaming, let me out. Come upon me and let me out. It's a flow and it's constant. Come upon, let out. And it's going to be at a price and a cost for each one of us, because it was for Jesus. So as I was continuing to kind of go back and remind myself of what the Lord had released, I wrote these words down. I have the right, I have the responsibility, and I have the power to jump on the face of Goliath, which is not new to us. We say this, we declare it, we decree it. But what are our Goliaths? What are they? They're the challenges right now. The challenges that we're facing, that the Lord is saying, I'm giving you opportunities to overcome those challenges right now as an overcomer, as a minister of reconciliation, as an ambassador of reconciliation. I'm giving you those opportunities. Irregardless of what the outcome will be, we want the outcome to be good, but what the outcome will be, I'm looking at you in the process. I am looking at you right now. I am saying, my eyes are on you, and I want to do great and mighty exploits through you. So when you lay hands on sick, they recover. When you see someone who's dead, they will be raised. And those things, we can yell and scream and shout and say, yes, Lord, count me in. And the Lord says, in order to face those kinds of giants and be successful, this outrageous love has to be so gripping that you'll see when there's a religious response. You'll see from someone else. You'll see when there's a comment or a situation that's around you that's challenging and just feels ick. You'll see what's really going on, and you'll be able to be used by the Lord to dismantle it by love, not judgment. Okay? Judgment says, you didn't do this, so this happens. Sorry, I found you wanting. And God looks at it differently when we're looking at others. It's like, how do I do that as I infiltrate society? Grace, how do I do that? The Lord's raising up revivalists in these last days. But what's he reviving? If somebody's dead, they're not being revived. They need life. Okay, so revival is for, and renewal is for us. It's for the body of Christ. Think about it. So the Lord's sweeping revival through the United States, and there's pockets all around. This is one place. This is one house. Revival has already begun. But the Lord says that the latter glory will be stronger and more powerful than the former. And the Lord says that if you see that, then there will be a rising charge on the inside. This raw, of love on the inside here. And these walls will bust out. These buildings will be constructed. That's a no-brainer. That's the nature of God. But he says, I will do that in the natural that you can see, but I'm going to do it right around you first in the relationships around you. It's absolutely imperative. There's no demon too big. The Lord says, I want you to take a look at this on the inside, not demons, okay? The love on the inside. Take a look at the love. Take a look at how vast and how big my love is. What can my love produce? What will my love do? Can my love really be so strong that there's a change in Jackson Township within a month? Do you think that after relentless pursuit, there could be some huge wave that leaves this place, or that is going on here, that just is boom, boom, to the north, the south, the east, to the west? Do you believe it? I do. I so do. We have so many people coming to this. We're getting emails and calls. I mean, people are coming out of the woodwork. It's just the beginning. But we need the vision to be released here, not to them. There might be some going, oh, yeah, I got you. Really cool brochure. Wow, nice lineup. Okay. Okay, Lord, get them here and use me in the process. I'll pray them in. I'll take flyers. Now, those natural things are important because God uses people. Prayer changes people. People change things. So if we go into society, let's suppose we're going to go into the political realm. Praise God for Americans doing that. Good, wild Americans, spirit-filled, on fire, non-compromising, filled with love, grace, and mercy to be able to shut the mouth of the lion, not because you were coached, but because that's just who you are. That's what the Lord's looking for. Go into the educational realms. Go into any other spiritual or societal realm. Ina did a great job with the display tables and all of you who helped with that. With all of you, these display tables in here were amazing. How many of us agree with that? For the 100 hours of prayer. I was just so grateful. And when the Lord gave that idea and there wasn't a whole lot of lead time, the leaders of each of these areas just jumped in and said, how can I help? What can I do? And that's been going on with the refurbishing of the building here. Just all kinds of things. You guys are great. I mean, this love that I'm talking about, you already have this love on the inside of you. The Lord's saying, I'm bigger though than that. There's more love on the inside of you to be released. There's more. And I'm coming upon you. And I want to fill those holes in those pockets that you might not feel or sense or see. Thinking everything's just fine, leave me alone. The Lord says, never, ever, ever, don't ever take that posture. Posture ourselves, hey, as I sit in that rocking chair, as Pastor Bill was talking about last Sunday, and also in Encountering Abba this last Thursday, which was an amazing class, sit in that rocking chair. When we sit in that rocking chair, we are receiving so much love, so much wisdom, so much mercy, so much grace, that it spills out into the people around us, and things, situations change. And that's happening right now. And the enemy's job, what is the enemy's job? To short circuit that. His job is to try to stop revival. Simple. Why? Oh, because the revivalists that the Lord is busting out, the burning ones that are busting out all over the world, and there are countries, there are pockets all over the world where this is happening. You are not alone. Oh. Oh, and the Lord says that these revivalists will go and take the land, okay? But they're harvesters. We are harvesters. We are people who are going and saying, I'll take that and that and that and that and that. That's what an awakening is. An awakening, an awakening, an awakening is taking the blinders off of people. So they say, who is this Christ? Who is this Jesus? I want to know this guy. Years ago, we were preaching in Brazil. We were preaching in a big church. And there, it was a Holy Ghost showdown. It was wild. People are flying everywhere. The power was awesome. What touched me the most, I'm so serious, I don't want to hear about this much, were these two guys that walked by the building from the streets and walked in. What's going on here and get saved? That is really something powerful to sing about. That's what we want to see. We want to see this place so burning that people are turning in because they don't even know why. They just have to come. Okay, but that's going to come from this great outpouring of outrageous love that we carry. Wow. So Paul says in chapter 10, I, Paul, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, power, humility, honor, under control. That's my wording. I who am meek when face to face with you, but I'm bold towards you when absent. In other words, I understand the bigger things. I know what's happening. I can see what's coming against you. I believe he's saying, I can see the very religion that you have. I can see the very judgment that lurks in the corners of your being. Maybe you had an absent father or mother. Maybe you didn't have someone love you into life. Maybe you had someone who beat you when you were small. Maybe you had someone that convinced you that you weren't good enough. You know, all those kinds of things. All those kinds of divisive things that have happened to any of us as little children. Those types of things. Those can affect how big we really see our God to be. Even when we read the scripture, we need his power to come in and just go, fill that place up. And then replace anything that was there with his love. We know those things up here. But the Lord is saying, I'm giving you opportunities to see that worked out in your own life right now. Right now. Right now. Every opportunity, everything that we're involved with, the Lord says, I'm not surprised. So what are you going to do about it? I'm just not surprised. How are you going to handle that? Love? Honor? What does love really look like? What does honor really look like? What's it looking like for you in this situation? Oh. Humility. Those who are walking in that kind of humility more and more and more, those are the ones who are going to go to the places God says. Those are the ones who are not going to have to retreat and do things over and over and over and over and over. If we say, I've tried everything, that's probably a good place to start. Because there's probably humility that the Lord's trying to birth in all of us. When we really let go, that fire is going to be so contagious that someone will say, wow, that Justin, he's so burning. Oh my gosh, every time I'm around him, I just start shaking. That's how it was with Peter. See, that's that burning. It's that desire for burn. I want to burn for you. I want to burn for you. When I burn on Tuesdays when we sing, Lord, I want to burn for you. I sing that and I want to become more like that. Oh, this shaking's going on. This shaking. I am so awakened already. I'm awakened to new life. I am revived to new life. But I'm going to see people differently. I'm going to be around those who are challenging, particularly the Christians. Oh, my. Isn't it true? But where else is the Lord going to rid us of any kind of judgment? Because if you think about it, you're around a non-believer, well, they're just acting the way they really are. So why get upset? But when you're around a believer, there's that annoyance. And there's those buttons that are pressed, like, can't believe it. That's judgment. That's self-righteousness. And don't we know, how many of us can relate to this? Honestly. Only a handful? Come on. Come on. But those are the places where the Lord says, my outrageous love is going to touch you and look like something different. Now, you can go find somebody else to agree with you and you'll feel better, but the thing is, the Lord is saying, I am going to tell you these things to invite my presence to come in a powerful way. So when Paul says, I urge you, that you will urgently awaken in the morning and say, Lord, I am contending for what love really looks like. Show me. I want to walk in that grace. I want to thank you for that wonderful, wonderful, great grace that has been given and already released to me. That's who I am today. And when I step, if I would step out of that I would quickly retreat back to that place of love. So that's a good word for us. In verse 5 in chapter 10, this was not planned, any of this, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So here's the we. Paul starts this whole chapter talking about I. Hello, here's who I am. And then he talks about we. This is our collective duty. He introduces who he has, how he is seen by the Lord, and giving all credit and honor and glory to the Lord. And then he takes it into a place of collective reasoning, if you will, collective release, saying, here's what we're doing, guys. What do you think? Good plan? Now, there are going to be bumps in the road as we go through this, but it's really okay because the Lord sees the end result. This is so fun. Can you turn in your Bible to Acts 2:17? The Lord highlighted this verse for me. I'm encouraged. Acts
Acts 2:17, very familiar passage of Scripture. This is after the day of Pentecost, and we're just leading up here, getting into Peter's sermon. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind. Well, that's since the beginning of Jesus coming back. But we're in that heightened place right now. And your sons and daughters, yea, daughters, shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come when he returns. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, that's not new to us. And we get excited when we read that. But how many of us really are contending for that in the sense that we're believing that that his Spirit will be poured out on all flesh? That means great awakening. Some people, depending on what circles you run in and what streams you're part of, they will say that we're in the beginning of a fourth awakening. Some will say this is a continuation of the third awakening. Irregardless, there's a great awakening upon us. In the last few years, if you are spiritually sensitive, you'll know something's going on. And I believe everybody in this room is spiritually sensitive to that degree. That something looks like something, and the Lord wants to define that for us so we can wrap our arms around it and fight for it, fight for the heart of our King in a very pivotal way. So it's more than coming on Tuesday and dancing and going, yay, God. It's then taking that coming and dancing and yay, God, and the Spirit of God falling on us and letting it spill wherever we walk right now. Then we're burning wherever we are. It's a big deal. And so less than burning can send a message of I'm less than. No. That's just a place where the Lord says there's probably some need for love in that place where you're not burning and you've taken it as I'm less than. So that means that you need more of my love released or received so that you can burn for me. And that burn for me is absolutely happening just all over the place. Let me give you a few facts, those of you who just love to hear these kinds of facts. A few statistics. I wrote them down somewhere. Where did I put them? I was reading that in the world, there are 190,000 people daily coming to Jesus Christ in the world. That's a lot of people. For that to happen, things are going on. Things are happening. Things are really changing. Globally, daily in India, there are 35,000 people coming to know Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Now, there are millions of people in India. There are 40,000 people in China. This is the stat I got today anyway, or recently. And 35,000 in Latin America. That's 35, 40, 35, and then the total here, not of all of those necessarily, is 190,000 people daily. These are just some highlighted regions. 190,000 people daily coming to know Jesus. The Lord cares about that. That's the great end time harvest starting to rise, but it's not upon us yet in the terms of the big sweeps all around the world. But if we're not taking our land right here, how will we have vision to do that abroad and carry that? We won't. If we're planted here, which we are, and we're going to nations, which we do, and will continue to do, it's both. It's not one or the other. It's both and more. And so that change will take place right here with the situations that we face on our doorstep, something that we deal with our homeschooling group. I don't mean that towards any of your homeschoolers, but if you have people, I just came to my mind, let you have situations you want to work with, and no one's talked to me about that, but let's just use that as an example, that God is saying there will be reconciliation, there will be love poured out, there will be things that will happen in your business, wherever you are, and that's going to happen, and there will be transformation in this region, in this society, in this place. Transformation, which is really reforming all levels of society. That's the reformation the Lord says I've called you to be part of,
and to become, see yourself as a reformer, see yourself as a revivalist to be able to be used as a reformer. But you're not going to be either without understanding that it starts right here with love, well, to the degree anyway. Because God will make sure that we understand what that means, because he is so intentional. He's urging us by the mercies of God to see that as we present ourselves, these things will become clearer and clearer and clearer. Back 20 years ago, there were 8,000 unreached people groups in the world. 8,000. Just click on that. Now, there are 500 unreached people groups in the world. Huh? People groups. I'm not talking about one little city where there's a people group right there, and there you go, go there. These are people groups. These are groups of people. There'll be different sects, different groups, different places. But 500 compared to 8,000, things are happening. That's a big deal. Jesus is coming back. That's why things are heating up. That's why if you really experience the God, you get the Lord, and you get dumped on, and you're just all over, oh my gosh, I'm burning. Don't you think the enemy's going to try to stop that? Don't you think he's going to try to come and say, let me snuff that one out? Don't you think he's going to come with every distraction in the world so that we look like really good Christians doing really good things? And we feel close to God, feel close to the Lord, but, you know, I need to keep everything in balance and in order. Oh, my gosh, those are not burning ones. The burning ones will be absolutely on fire, crazy, willing to do anything, anywhere, at any time. And we'll see that that's what God calls. And then the ones that they are connected with will be able to see that that's normal. It's not against the family. It's just the opposite. It's what the Lord's doing. He's raising up, and people who grab that vision are able to see that. And their families start to burn more and more and more. I love this. This is just so much fun. Now, this is a fact that was in David Barrett's Encyclopedia, Proven Facts, so we'll see. I'm doing my best, you know, of proven facts. But around 70 AD, it was about 1 to 300, one person who actually was born again and knew God. The ratio was 1 to 300. That's really tough. Ah, I'm facing the real lions here. Okay, now in the world today, we have, and again, one out of five have given their hearts in some respect or way to Jesus. I don't know how that's measured. I didn't have time to research that and do an analysis for you. But I am going on that fact, and if it's not accurate, forgive me. But that's what I have found. It's one out of five, and that 1 billion are born again. Born again. Whatever God considers to be born again, they have claimed to be born again. 1 billion? Come on! In six? Where? In India? Well, they're saved. They're being saved today. I believe, and I believe that this is in line with others who believe this way, but I believe the Lord he's grass-rooting all over the place. He really is. We see the evidence of that in Mozambique. We traveled there for 10 years. We're part of the revival and the awakening there. We've been very active there. It's one country. Oh, we go out into the bush and we see people who've had, let's say, someone come into their village 8 years ago. And we go in and they look as though they don't even know Jesus. That happens all the time. So we come in and we bring both revival and awakening. So we do both, and we also plant new churches. So we're doing that. We're covering. We're doing what we're called to do. But the Lord's saying the stakes are getting higher right now because you're coming into a place of known understanding of what's released in the world today. For those of you who consider yourselves world changers, history makers, movers and shakers, those who want to take nations, those who want Jesus at all costs, the stakes are really high because the enemy says, I can't stand people like that more than any other Christian. And so I've got to move, and the only way that I can is to keep them down, to keep it lower, to keep it so that you're having this nice little, fairly easy life with some struggles. God's going to, he wants us to see that his power needs to come upon us. His power and authority need to come upon us and change us. How many of you are being stirred up? I'm being stirred up, so I hope you are. in a new way. This is new. It's not about what this place looks like. This is an accommodational place for people to be able to come in and have some level of comfort. We're living in the West. But I've been in plenty of places where there's the raw Holy Spirit power falling that is out in the middle of nowhere where trees and bushes and dirt are there and people are crying out for the Holy Spirit. They're getting wrapped up in the glory of God. They're being taken to heaven and things are happening. That's important. Okay, that's not here. Does that mean this is less? No. It doesn't mean that. We're in the West. That's okay. But the Lord says, are you thinking beyond what you can see? Are you thinking beyond what you can appreciate right now? Is your heart burdened for more? Is your heart burdened for what's going on downtown? Is your heart burdened for what's going on in Jackson Township with the Richies, you know, of those who have money and the kids who are shooting up and the kids whose parents aren't around, the ones who aren't down in the city, but they're here and they're just as lost? What is it that makes you burn? What stirs you up? Well, I'm in a different place in my life with kids. That doesn't change things. I had kids when I was little, and I was crazy, burning. You can be crazy, burning. Kids enhance the fact that you have little life. But there are things. There are things inside that we can burn inside, and then God will tailor make our world and our life. He says, come out of what just feels so comfortable and perfect. Some of us want comfortable and more perfect because of the hurt and the division and the heartache in our past lives. And God is saying, I'm changing that up. I'm filling you with so much love that you will step out with new boldness, new courage to do things I've created you to do. And your kids will benefit because we're doing everything now for the sake of the inheritance to come. And the inheritance on our little people, for our little people and the ones coming in front line and even after that, it's huge. The Lord's saying, I want you to start moving and working from the thought of inheritance and build this thing up, build this up from the place of outrageous love, and your kids will start thinking differently, acting differently, because that's the nature of inheritance. It just is. This is just coming out of me. The thing I have written down are the stats, because I didn't have all that written. So these are some things that I thought were kind of interesting, that when the gospel goes forth, that it brings this transformation that God is really looking for. You say, I'm looking for, you know, when you guys were kids, some of you, and you'd play with transformers, some of you did that. He says, who's a transformer in here? Who's a real transformational person? Who is one that wants to see every sector transformed? Me? You? How many of us get really excited about the election and the process and all of that? I am crazy inside about this. I can only do so much. But I'm thinking about it. It's on my mind. I want to read the paper. I want to watch the debates. I'm thinking about it. I'm praying during the debates. And that's in me. Why? Because there's this strong spirit of justice operating in my life. And justice says, no, this is wrong, this is right. But if that justice spirit is not birthed out of true love, it becomes self-righteous and judgmental. This is wrong, this is right. Well, whoopee, we might be able to see what's wrong and right. But if we are not walking in that extravagant love and releasing it, then we are just as wrong as those who we can see are wrong. We're wrong in a different way. We're wrong spiritually. And the Lord is saying, I want to right that because you carry my righteousness. You are my righteous branch. It's who you are. So that spirit of righteousness and justice that are at the foundations of the throne, the Lord says, let it begin, take root, and grow in us. And then we will come out of that. We will be saying things and doing things that are so much wiser. And that wisdom that will go out. Oh my goodness. When people walk on this property in 2 weeks for Relentless Pursuit, they're going to feel something really different. Every one of them. I know it. I know. How many of us ever walk in and it's like, whoa, I can feel the Spirit of God. Whoa, wow, that's really awesome worship. Imagine that when you're driving in. Can you imagine that? We've been talking about it. Why not? If we're hungering after the presence of God to fill this place, the can repository comes out because there's fire coming from the roof here. Come on. Why not? We've got Mel Tari coming. It's not just because of Mel, but that's what he saw. Come on. With the great revival in Indonesia. Can't we believe for that? See? The Lord says, this is worth living for, shouting for, being stirred up for. Whoa. If we contend for revival, we contend for reformation, we contend for the great awakening. If we have a whole body of contenders, can you imagine if 12 disciples changed the world? What about us? What about this little band? It's a big band in God's idea, in God's economy. It really is. We won't saunter in, holding our coffee, just kind of hoping we get into worship. That will change. We'll be the first one. No more coffee. And then we got the water coming. So, all right. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for water, the water of the Holy Ghost. So anyway, you're coming up here. It's like, I can't wait. Well, I don't feel it. Tough. It's not about the feeling. Yeah, easy for you to say. It's not about that either. The point is the Lord is saying release. My role, one of my roles is I'm a releaser. So let's release. But let's receive the release. Amen? Okay, let's receive that release. Let's go forth. There's just no room for squabbles, no room for arguing, no room for offense, no room for any of that stuff. Why? Because that's second heaven and we live at the third. The third heaven is the place we hang out in. So if we're on our way, wouldn't the enemy like to derail us at the second heaven? Saying, whoa, they're rising. Boop. Whoop, they're rising. Get that one. Whoop, they're rising. Let's move there. It's like, let's see these things. And so we can move forward more and more and more. Oh, this is fun. I didn't know what he was going to do today. Now I know. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Thank you, Lord. You know, Amy Semple McPherson passed through Canton, Ohio, and she was not well accepted here. How many of us know who she is? She's a powerful woman. She was judged as she came through Canton area. That's what I understood. The Lord wants us to be able to pray effectively, be able to see effectively, call heaven to earth. When we're having 100 hours of prayer and worship, that's really cool. Okay, 24/7, really cool. Going downtown, really cool. We are doing, quote unquote, the things of revival. So that's a given. You can pat yourself on the back. But you see, beyond that, the Lord is saying, it's more than the doing of revival. It's the becoming of a burning one. This burning torch is worth everything. It's worth going to the wall for. It's worth, Lord, this is my life. I need to see what this looks like in the midst of my family situations, in the midst of everything. Preaching about burning doesn't make you burn alone, okay? It's saying, Lord, that is me no matter what. So I will allow that outrageous love that you have in me and on me to come out in a new way. And it will look different. I may have to go to 5 people and say, I'm really sorry. You perceived me as, oh, I'm so sorry. Some of that's really happening. It really is. And some of it's not. And when it does, when that starts happening all the way across the board, rather than justifying our world, there's no stopping this place. That's a word for any place that we are in. It's not just frontline, but it's definitely true. So Acts 3:19. Is that where I told you to go? No. What did I tell you? Oh, 2 Corinthians 3. That's what I told you. All right. Oh, 17. That's what I said. Let's do 16, okay? Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. I don't think there's a person in here, maybe just a few, if any, that haven't thought about these verses before. This is fairly old, but fairly new, again, in the fact that we're going from glory to glory. Because the Lord wants us to see that the veil has been lifted, and there's a transforming work that's being completed in us in a new way. And he's bringing us to that place of not feeling bad about ourselves. That's purely carnal, 100% carnal, but feeling good about ourselves. And then when the conviction of the Spirit comes, then we say, that's your love. But if we start feeling bad and we stay away or we retreat from someone next to us, let's say, and we say, well, the Lord understands. He understands so much, he says, don't do it. Because that positions us for the enemy to carve us, to take us and carve us down. He's calling us together, but we, with unveiled faces. This is what Paul is talking about. I, Paul, because of the mercies of God, I'm telling you, but we are the ones who will take it to the next step. So there's this collective we, the strength in the we, is very, very, very important. We're in a new place right now. And I think when we have, you know, a physical representation, like Pastor Bill brings up a rocking chair, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is really great. We're thinking about rocking with Papa, and that's all good. But we also have these new things that are in process right here, and we're not finished yet. And the Lord understands the process, but he's saying, what will you do in the middle of the process? How do you handle the process? What's the purpose of the process? The purpose of the process is to bring us into that place that we're talking about. We want to burn. We need to enjoy the process, embrace the process, and get the most out of the process so that we can take the next step into the place of our destiny that he has for us. So it's a process, but it's a good one. But if we decide that we're going to dictate his process for us by making excuses or saying, he understands, this is who I am, this is what I do, what we're doing is just playing into the hands of the enemy. And the Lord says, I didn't consider that for you. If you'd like to do that, you can. But the process will be, I'm drawing you to me. I know, but it takes me a long time. It can take us less time if we decide to say, I'm believing these words. I'm allowing you to come in because I want new vision. I believe the provision is always there for a vision. And I believe that the new vision that you're giving me will include others way outside of my sphere, way outside of my comfort zone. It doesn't mean that you have to say, see you, I'm leaving. That means that we come in here, we collectively come together and say, Lord, what's the job that you have us to do? And so when that works really well, when there's that synergy of all hands on deck, that is coming from a place of burn. If we're not burning and we hear that, they're asking me to do something. The doing that we need to take, to be able to take the land, does look like something. It will for anyone. Paul didn't sit back. Paul was doing as he learned how to walk in that humility. So if humility is our highest aim, above all else, we will walk in what has been released so far. There's such a great and amazing inheritance in this house. It's extremely humbling. Extremely humbling. And the honor that the Lord wants to release here is so significant. He says, I want you to understand what honor looks like with your children, what your honor looks like, your display of honor with your spouses, with your Sunday school, Kingdom Kids teachers, with people that you are connected with, that you work with. What does honor really look like from God's perspective? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to retreat? Are you willing to be flexible? Are you willing to say, God, you're speaking to me. I'm going to go a different way. These are the places that this is how we advance in the middle of the process. When we're willing to say, aha, I see. Then in that process, then we turn and we move or we change. It's that movement in the glory. That's what glory to glory to glory looks like. And then there are times when we have a relentless pursuit and there's going to be this power just flying, which is amazing. It's going to be great. Encourage you to be here for every session. Of course. Why would I not? Because the Lord will be here. Well, you don't know my schedule. No, I don't. Put it before the Lord. He's looking at your hunger. He's looking at your hunger. What do you want? Take it beyond what you've ever thought before. Stir me up, Lord. If I were packing up my family and going to another city for a conference, I would do that, and then I would pay the price to do that. But you see, there's a hunger. When we would take young people and older people to Toronto years ago, we would go for a period of time. People would come and be boom, hit with power and glory. But the Lord says, I'm looking for a move that will be sustainable. I'm looking for something that will be held. I'm looking for something that will be carried. I'm not looking for just a nice revival. Do you know that revivals noted in the country here are typically, even around the world, typically only last several years? But awakenings last decades. Do you know that? Decades. That's why we can pinpoint tons of revivals all the way through history. But awakenings, this is a big deal when the Lord says, I'm bringing in the sheep. I'm bringing them in. This is the time. I need harvesters, but harvesters are people who understand revival, who can see what great awakening really is and really looks like. And they're so burning. They're going to go from place to place. We'll go downtown. We'll go into the brothels, wherever they will be. We're going to do that here more. Redemption for Life is taking a new turn. It started in a bigger way overseas 4 or 5 years ago, whenever that was. And the Lord said, you are justice-oriented because justice and righteousness are the foundations of my throne. So therefore, it will spread in this area. It's already doing it. We're already doing that. The Lord says, more of that, because that's his heart. Now, these are people, which are you and me, we are people, who are being stirred up by the Lord. He's saying, stir yourself up in your most holy faith. This is a place where we can burn. We can dance and sing and jump. But the kids who are jumping to an army dress for battle, if they're clueless on the inside, you have to help them by burning more, teaching more, modeling more. Oh, it's more. Yeah, it's the more. When we cry out and go, more, Lord, he says, how much of me is more? More, you want more of me. That more will spill in. And then when the kids get up from their naps, you're burning. It's a more, okay? It's a more when your grandchildren come over. It's a more. It's like, Lord, it's as though you're saying, Lord, I'm burning for you. I'm on fire for you, and it's going to look like something. I'm going to dare to do things I couldn't do before. I didn't feel comfortable with deliverance, but I do now. Because I know who I am. So I'm going to pray for deliverance. I'm going to pray for healing. I'm going to spend that time in my prayer closet. I don't like a closet because I can't stay there. I have to move around. Some people like to sit and just, like, not me. I'm moving. That's me. But that's the more. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just want to close right now with worship, actually, because I believe the Lord's stirring us up for a greater quest on the inside. When Meltari comes and he's saying, let me tell you what happened in the Philippines last week, you know, where there are tens of thousands of people, and we go, oh, wow, that's so cool. If we're already burning and the people come in here, can you imagine this burning place? Can you imagine what that can look like? Can you see it? Can you see people driving up and they're looking at people who aren't just happy and they're going to some weird church because they just smile a lot and they're told to, but they're really burning with the power and the love and the glory of God, and their bodies are getting healed. And when they pray for people, their bodies are getting healed and the greater works are actually happening and they're doing the greater works. That's us. That's who we are. So let's worship. Whoever wants to lead that, my love. Is that you? We want to worship. And you know what? The kids can come worship with us if you want. Let's just worship the Lord that I have in me. I want that to come out. I want judgment and self-righteousness to be uprooted. And believe me, hey, we all have some degree, some level of Pharisaical stuff because we're in process, right? So Lord, I want to see that come out. I'm not going to hide behind, oh, yeah, I guess I'll do it someday. Or I'm going to take charge because I'm bold and courageous. You can be bold and courageous sounding, but without kindness and gentility. Worship the Lord. Let's worship from a posture of humility, of Lord, there are probably some things in me that your love wants to touch. I want to worship you from that place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Minds in this place and these brilliant, brilliant people in frontline. I thank you, Lord, for the raw cry of the Lion of Judah, for the roaring power inside of each one. And I thank you, Lord God, that each one is stepping up and stepping in to that which they were created for. I thank you that each one is stepping in, Lord God, saying, Father, humility and honor in me at all costs, whatever that looks like. That I will not be moved by popular opinion or by insecurity. Lord, that I will be moved only by your Spirit, and the words and the meditations that come from my mouth will be holy and pure. That I will see way beyond what I've ever seen before because I am one who wants to burn for you. I want your holiness and your fire and your burning love to just flow out of me, Lord God. That I would be that vessel of power, that vessel of mercy and grace, that vessel of justice, that vessel of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that burn exceeds our expectations today, that there's a new anointing for a new level of burn. There's a new anointing here, oh God. There's a new fire, Father. You've honored all of our prayers. You've honored our watches of the Lord. You've honored our outreaches and the things, Lord God, that you call us to do. But Lord, as you've honored these, Lord, you're taking us into a new place in the heavens that we can hear the holy roar and the resounds of heaven saying, yes, this is a new day. And this is a new day for my people who want to reform the world, reform society, reform nations as transforming, burning revivalists and harvesters. That's who we are, Lord, this company of people. And Lord, bring them in, bring in the masses so we can be part of this great awakening that's sweeping across this nation, that's sweeping around the world, that this would be a historical day, that Relentless Pursuit would be a historical conference in your kingdom realm. Lord, take us right now and turn us inside out and upside down. Lord, that we would hear the roar, that we would hear the roar, and that we would be carriers of that roar. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's be on our feet and declare what the Lord is telling us. Lord, humility and honor, show us what that looks like as you are the ultimate humility, humble and honoring one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Heal our bodies in the midst of this, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.